Hi, I'm Marcus Edwards, and I'm interested in talking to people who are interested in talking to people who are interested in having a conversation about their future. Does that make any sense? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Recruiting Trailblazers. So I'm very excited to welcome my guest today to Recruiting Trailblazers. Melissa Grabener is an HR and talent acquisition professional with over 25 years experience. She's currently a senior TA leader at One Digital and prior worked at Takeda Pharmaceuticals for 18 years, where she led the TA function for the largest business globally across the organization. Melissa is a 2x top LinkedIn voice and has amassed over 195,000 followers on LinkedIn. She's passionate about the candidate experience and she is an advocate for job seekers. So welcome to the podcast, Melissa.
Thank you so much, Marcus. I'm super happy to be talking to you. Thank you.
Great to have you on the show. I'm excited to get going and have our conversation today. One of the main topics that we've been tackling recently on the show is getting back to work for recruiters who've been laid off in the recent downturn. Now, I don't have any concrete data to support this, but it does feel like things are picking up. And I'm seeing more and more recruiters on LinkedIn announcing their return to work. What are you seeing in the market right now, Melissa?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think the market this year has been tough for so many people. And when companies go through downsizing, naturally, they let go of at least part of their talent acquisition function because if the company isn't hiring, they don't need recruiters to support that. I've been in talent acquisition long enough to know that the pendulum changes every couple of years. And so a few years ago, we were in more of an employee-driven market. This past year, I would consider the landscape more of an employer-driven market. But happily, I am finding, as you just mentioned on LinkedIn, I'm seeing a lot more posts from recruiters that have announced their new roles. And I'm also seeing more posts from companies looking to hire recruiters. Typically, Q4 is a slow time for hiring because, first of all, we have the holidays coming up. We have a lot of people that don't necessarily want to leave their job because they have to be employed through Q4 to receive their bonus, which is usually paid out at a lot of companies in Q1. And a lot of companies also have their new budgets approved for the start of Q1. So I truly believe, and I truly hope that we are going to see a significant upturn in the need for recruiters come just a few short months. And I'm rooting for all of them because I know this has been a very tough time.
Yeah, it's been a really tough time. And some fantastic recruiters that I know have been out of work for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's a good sign to see recruiters getting back to work. It's a leading indicator on what's happening in the economy, because if recruiters are getting hired back, then that means confidence is being restored in the economy, which means, you know, people are going to start hiring again and then more recruiters will get hired. It's all about confidence. And hopefully, you know, post Christmas, Q1, we're going to have hopefully a bumper 2024. Yeah.
Yeah, I truly believe that. And I truly hope that as well. I have, on any given day, I have job seekers reaching out to me, and predominantly they're in the talent acquisition space. I'm hearing a lot of really sad stories from people who have been, you know, at their companies for 10, 20 years, and they're completely blindsided by a layoff. A lot of these people reach out to me and say, I haven't looked for a job in a long time. I don't even know where to begin. Do you have any resources that can help me? Do you have anyone in your network that can help me? And my main goal with LinkedIn is always to respond to everyone who reaches out to me. And what I am telling these people is, obviously, you know, networking is a huge, huge way to find roles.
Yes. So, what I wanted to do actually is break this down, because you post a lot about this on LinkedIn. And in fact, I want to read one of your LinkedIn posts before we get into this, before we get into breaking down what it takes to get a job as a recruiter these days. I'd like to just read one of your recent posts, which I think gives a great flavor of who you are as a recruiter. So this was only a couple of days ago and you got 5,000 interactions, almost 200 comments and 4,917 likes and loves and all that good stuff. So you're cooking with gas on LinkedIn, Melissa, no doubt about it. So here it goes. The only person you should be looking out for is you. Received a better job offer elsewhere? Take the job. Interview process takes 10 rounds? Remove yourself from the process. Passed over for the promotion? Polish up your resume. Don't like the way you're being treated? Start looking for a new position. Is your mental health being compromised? Realize that no company is worth feeling this way. Remember, you're in the driver's seat as it relates to your career, nobody else. I love that. That is such a great post. And no wonder you got so many interactions with that. Where did that come from, Melissa?
Yeah, so the reason I posted that is because I truly believe that there is no such thing as company loyalty anymore. You know, I look at someone like my father who worked at the same company for 30 years, and I look at myself who worked at the same company for 18 years. My father and I are both exceptions. We are not the norm. You know, nowadays people are switching jobs for whatever reason every, you know, I would say 2 to 4 years. And people need to look out for themselves. And as we have been unfortunately seeing in the marketplace, companies will lay off employees when they no longer need them or when it no longer serves them. You know, I hear these horror stories of employees logging onto their computer and then they're shut out and they had no idea the reason why. And then all of a sudden they find out it's because they have lost their jobs. And I don't think there's any such thing anymore as any sort of loyalty to an employer. I feel that we always have to be our own best advocate and do what's the best for ourselves, our families, our heart, our soul, our passions and our interests.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, we should. It's all about looking after number one. And it's funny because companies, they want you to be loyal. They value loyalty. And recruiters, you know, are always on the lookout for people who have got history of long tenure at companies, which I actually think is a bit of a red herring, to be honest. They want you to be loyal, but then the economy turns and they're the first person to bail from the relationship, aren't they? Immediately they start laying recruiters off. And recruiters, as I said, well, it's a leading indicator. We're the first to go. I mean, sometimes the first to get back when the economy starts to recover, but recruiters are the first people to go. When companies stop hiring, the CFO goes, well, we don't need all those recruiters, do we? Let's get rid of those and recover that outlay in salaries, etc.
So I believe that what's being very short-sighted with a lot of companies is that when they see that they no longer need to fill positions, they automatically think about cutting their talent acquisition staff. And I think what a lot of leaders need to realize is that a lot of recruiters have skills that might be able to be utilized in another part of the organization. I'll give you a perfect example. So when I was managing a large team at my prior job, we had a downturn in hiring. We went on a hiring freeze. So what I did, instead of laying off anyone on my staff, I had a conversation with the business leaders and I asked them if they needed any help in their departments. So this way, instead of laying off my team, I was able to re-resource those people. And the benefit of that was, first of all, it avoided laying off anyone on my team. It allowed them to, you know, stay with the company and gain new skills in a different department. And when hiring turned around, which I knew it would, I was able to bring those people back into my department. I didn't have to hire from scratch, which, as we know, can be extremely costly and extremely time consuming. So I think when companies think about, we're not hiring, what do? We have all these recruiters. Think about utilizing their skills elsewhere. And this way, when the market turns around, because it always does, this is cyclical, they already have the talent in the organization and they don't have to hire from scratch. And it's a win-win for everybody.
I mean, beautifully said. Definitely a brilliant strategy. And I wonder why more companies don't behave like this, because the cost of replacing and retraining and finding good recruiters, I think, you know, has to outweigh, you know, what it would take just to repurpose those individuals for a few months, for 6 months or even a year, and have them, you know, performing somewhere else in the organization. You know, great recruiters are just incredible communicators and they're very smart and savvy, I think, business people as well. So I think you can actually deploy them elsewhere in the organization and have great results. And I wish more companies would do that.
No, I absolutely agree. And that's exactly why I did what I did when the business I was supporting had a significant downturn, because I knew that sooner versus later, we would need to be filling positions again. And the last thing I wanted to do was, number one, lay off anyone on my team because I cared about them deeply as individuals. But then if we had to start hiring from scratch, a new team, all of that work would be placed on me. We'd have a deficiency in the business because I wouldn't have the staff needed at the time to fill the jobs if I didn't have recruiters. So what I would suggest to all business leaders is to strategically think long and hard before laying off recruiters and look at your workforce plan. What is the business going to look like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months out? And if the business leaders believe that the business will turn around and hiring will pick up, please don't think about laying off your team of recruiters. Look at redeploying them into different positions within the organization.
This episode of Recruiting Trailblazers is brought to you by Vertical Move. Vertical Move builds world-class digital transformation, product, and software engineering teams by sourcing only the top 5% of passive technical talent. Vertical Move's AI-powered digital skills assessment and paired programming protocols exemplify the most qualified candidates, thus expediting the hiring process and saving customers valuable time and resources. Vertical Move, for technical talent you can trust. Let's talk about navigating an effective job search. This is something that you obviously, and we just began to touch on a minute or two ago, something that you're very passionate about, something that you share a lot of advice with your almost 200,000 followers on LinkedIn. Maybe we could break it down into like four or five key steps in terms of what your strategy needs to look like as you find your next role. And maybe this applies to people who are currently looking for a new job because they're not happy where they're at, but also people who have recently been laid off. So let's break it down here, Melissa. What's step one?
So the first thing that I would suggest to job seekers is to do a self-assessment. So identify the strengths you feel you have, some of your skills, some of your career goals. Consider if you want to stay in the same industry, maybe change industries, and think about what type of jobs align with your interests and your values. And I would also say at the inception of a job search is to make sure that you have a resume and a LinkedIn profile that is optimized and updated at all times. To me, and I think about this a lot being in the industry and being a recruiter for so many years, it wouldn't surprise me if in a couple of years, resumes just kind of went away altogether. And LinkedIn is really the tool where prospective employers review someone's background. But for now, resumes are still a thing and people are still needing to have them, but a resume should be updated at all time. And then maybe even tailor your resume to each job application. And I know this is very time consuming, but I spent the last, 15 years of my career reading resumes, and I've read thousands upon thousands of resumes throughout the years. I like to see resumes that are tailored for the job. I think that really would put a job seeker over someone who perhaps didn't. And I think a resume really needs to capitalize and highlight someone's relevant skills and experiences and the achievements, right? And so using action verbs, quantify the achievements. So I think having a resume that is optimized, the LinkedIn profile that is optimized, and really taking a deep dive into oneself to say, okay, so now I'm looking for a new job. What do I want to be doing as my next move? So I think that's step number one.
Well, I think that's incredibly good advice, because if you're not optimizing and customizing your resume to the role that you're looking to apply to, somebody else probably is. And that means that you're going to get looked over and you're not going to be as relevant. It's the same when you sell anything. If you don't understand the problem that your prospect has, it's very difficult for you to reconcile your value proposition. So when you're applying for a job, I think it's like selling anything. You've got to understand the problem that your prospect, in this case, your future employer, is looking to solve, and then reflect the experience that they're looking for as much as you possibly can without sort of lying in your resume, and solve those problems. And so if you're not customizing, if you're just like stuck, your feet are stuck in the sand and you're saying, this is my resume, this is who I am, this is what I've done, this is what I've achieved, take it or leave it, I think you're going to find yourself at the bottom of the pile.
Without question, I agree. I think that And this is what I suggest to people that reach out to me on LinkedIn, specifically people that are thinking about making a change. It's really important that people have plan A, plan B, and plan C laid out. And I actually posted about this on LinkedIn, I think it was this week, where, you know, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but a company can lay off someone at a moment's notice and completely take someone off guard. Someone might get a call from a recruiter and all of a sudden they're presented with this incredible opportunity, even though they might not be proactively looking for a new position. So I think that it behooves everyone to always make sure that their resume and LinkedIn profile is updated, because you never know when you're going to get that call out of the blue that could be a life-changing call for you. Or the company you're working at decides to lay off staff and you're unfortunately impacted.
Yeah. And what kind of a recruiter are you if you don't believe in remaining open to opportunities? Because as recruiters, you know, we're always hunting for that elusive passive candidate. And a passive candidate is by definition someone who isn't actively looking, but they're open potentially to the right new opportunity. So I think you have to live and die by the sword if you're a recruiter as well. And, you know, just keep yourself, like you said, keep everything updated on your LinkedIn profile, especially your LinkedIn profile. I mean, everybody is, even if they see your resume first, the first thing they're going to do if they're interested in you is go and check you out in your LinkedIn profile. And, you know, unfortunately, you could argue that the LinkedIn profile does introduce some bias, because people do enjoy checking each other out, you know, checking out their photos and all the other stuff that they might bring to the table. Some people use LinkedIn more personally than others. And so it can give you sort of like a different style of overview of that individual. So that can also introduce some bias. But at the end of the day, LinkedIn is here to stay. And so your best bet is to put your best foot forward on your LinkedIn profile and always, you know, look professional, you know, nice, warm, inviting smile on your photo, professional looking, and, you know, post regularly. Use LinkedIn to post. Show people who you are. Show them what kind of skills that you have. I mean, you're obviously, this is something we should talk about right now. You've got almost 200,000 followers. It's not going to be very hard for you to get a new job, is it, if you ever want one?
Well, I think that because I have such a broad network that it might be easier for someone like myself who has connections all over the country, connections with people virtually in all industries and job functions. Regarding LinkedIn, I am a huge fan of LinkedIn. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's definitely here to stay. I will tell you too that with my job currently, one of the roles that I have is trying to fill positions for my different clients. And the number one way I find candidates is through passive sourcing on LinkedIn. It's me going through the database, me reaching out to people that I find on LinkedIn who meet my search criteria. And I have hired a lot of people that I have found on LinkedIn who were considered passive job seekers. So they received a message from me. They're actively employed. A lot of these people have been happy. They're not necessarily proactively looking for a new role. But when I've reached out to them, the company has been of interest and the role has been of interest. And so there are a huge amount of people that are hired by the efforts of recruiters that use the LinkedIn recruiter tool. That is why it is so imperative for LinkedIn to be updated in real time for everybody who uses the platform, because you never know when you're going to get that call from that recruiter or that hiring manager. And perhaps that is a life-changing opportunity for you as well.
Absolutely. Excellent advice. Okay, so we've got our LinkedIn profile all sorted out, resumes all sorted out. You mentioned achievement-driven and data-driven earlier, and those are two very important tips. You know, don't make your resume about your duties and responsibilities. Make your resume more about a reflection of what you've managed to achieve, and use as many sort of like real data points as possible to quantify what you actually did in terms of the result and the benefits to the organization that you worked for. And that's where resumes really start to sing. So steer clear of just duties and responsibilities. What next? Is next we start to network, or is next we start to outreach or respond to ads?
So Marcus, I'm so glad you said that. My next on the list has been, is networking. I think it is incredibly imperative for individuals looking for a new position to tap into their personal and professional networks for both job leads and referrals. And even attending industry events, attending networking events. I have met many people throughout the year by attending different events in the Chicagoland area. I have actually been a speaker at some of these events because I would attend an event and I would network and meet a lot of people. And then I would get a call from one of the organizers and said, would you like to speak at our next event? And so actually attending these events in person, I think is really, really important. And I would also say join professional associations and even some online forums. So I know in Chicago, we have a Chicago chapter of SHRM, which is the Society of HR Management. I have been involved in the Chicagoland version of that, right? So I've met a lot of people that way. And what I suggest to job seekers when they reach out to me on LinkedIn asking for advice on their next role and how they find it, the number one piece of advice I give to everybody is to network, network, and network some more. And I understand that not everyone is comfortable with networking. I understand that not everyone knows how to effectively and efficiently network. But you never know, you know, you reach out to someone and they might know someone else or they might have a cousin that's hiring. I mean, you never know what will happen based on these conversations.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I wanted to just interject there because I'm going to get to say one of my favorite phrases, which is, it's not just who you know, it's who you know knows. That's what's important. Because if you think about it, you know, if you've got 1,000 connections, or 1,000 people who know you, they all know another 1,000 people as well. And so your network becomes exponential. So you call one person and you say, hey, how's it going? It's great to catch up. You know, just wanted to let you know what my current situation is and what I'm potentially in the market for, just in case you hear anything or know anybody, you know, I'd love to stay in touch with you. And you get your network to start working for you. And it's really important. I think a lot of people, you know, they collect all of these connections on LinkedIn and then they never actually do anything with them. So what you were just saying is very important as well. It's like, how do you raise your profile enough to sort of enter the consciousness of the people who ultimately might want to hire you? Because, you know, applying for a job is very, very transactional and sometimes it works. But right now, if you're a recruiter and you're applying for a recruiter job, I've heard that there's just hundreds of recruiters applying for every single role. And hopefully that will change over the next few months. As we noted earlier, people are definitely getting back to work. But right now, your odds of even getting a first interview are pretty low. So you have to look at other ways of raising your profile and going to conferences or joining professional organizations. You know, what are some of the other ways that you can raise your profile so people get to know who you are and some of the opinions that you have and some of the value that you can bring to the table? So networking isn't just about, you know, calling people you know. It's about just appearing. I mean, if you start posting, maybe you can talk to us a little bit now about your posting strategy. Because when you've got all these connections on LinkedIn and they're sort of lying dormant, the best way to keep in touch with them isn't actually necessarily reaching out to them individually. That takes a long time. You should definitely do that with the people you know, but a lot of us are connected to people. Most of the people we're connected to, we don't know at all. So how do we raise our profile? How would you recommend recruiters raise their profile whilst they're looking for a new job by posting? What would their posting strategy be? How often would they need to post? What kind of stuff should they post about? How are they going to enter the consciousness of potentially their next employer?
Yeah, I think with networking, what's really important for people to understand is it's networking has to be a two-way street. It's not reaching out to people and saying, I'm networking because I'm finding a job. It's reaching out and saying, I'm networking and looking for a job, but what can I do to help you as well? So networking is a two-way street. It's not just let me take. It's a give and take between helping others and others helping you. So I think it's really important that people understand that networking is not just about me. It's about we. How can we help each other? You know, in terms of posting, what I would recommend to people, and this is what worked for me, is I post about things predominantly in the job search space, being an advocate for job seekers and recruiting best practices and things like that. So I think when people have a niche and they continue to post about that niche, they're almost in an essence becoming thought leaders within that group, right? So I think it's important to post about things that you feel that you know a lot about and you can add a lot of value. But I also think it's important that with LinkedIn, it's not just posting, but it's going through your feed and responding to other people's posts, right? And so I think a lot of the reason why I have gained so many followers predominantly in the last couple months is because I am active on the platform where I don't just post, but I post and I also engage with other posts that I find insightful. And the other thing I do, which I think is important for everyone who is active on LinkedIn, is that when you post something and people write comments, to respond to those comments. So yeah, it could be a little bit time consuming, but I strongly feel that if people take the time to comment on something that I post, I have the obligation to comment back with what they posted on. And sometimes it could be a couple words saying, you know, thank you for your thoughts, or I agree with what you're saying. But a lot of times when I respond to people, it's a not a book or a novel, but it's a good amount of response that I'm getting. It's a pretty thought out response. So I think people like it when you kind of hear back from them, right? So it's a combination of, you know, posting about things you're passionate about, posting about things that really sing to you, but it's also posting comments that other people have written, and making thoughts about that. So I think that, you know, there are so many ways to be active on LinkedIn. It's the best tool, as we've been talking about, to utilize for a job search. The more followers someone has on LinkedIn, the more your name will stick out to people and say, oh, Melissa Grabner, I really like what she posts about. You know, maybe I would even consider her a thought leader in the recruiting industry. So just as an example.
There's a couple of points I wanted to address there. So first of all, I actually think that the algorithm, the LinkedIn algorithm, rewards posters who respond to the people who respond to them, to their respondees.
They do. It does.
And so it's a really good idea to do what you were just saying. And getting back to networking, I think you touched on an important point there. I mean, of course, networking, you know, there has to be reciprocity in the process. It's kind of obvious, though, when you phone somebody up and say, I'm looking for a job, but what can I do for you? I mean, you know, most people can see that one coming a mile away. I recommend when you're thinking about networking and you're looking at your network on LinkedIn, I don't recommend putting people on the spot. I don't recommend reaching out to people and saying, hey, I'm looking for a job. You know, is your company looking for anybody right now? I think you take a slightly more sort of like consultative approach and say, hey, I wanted to reach out to you since we're in your network. I understand that you probably have, you know, a large network yourself. And I just wanted to let you know, my current situation in case you know somebody who might be able to utilize my skills. So you don't ask them, you don't put them in the awkward situation of saying, we don't need someone like you. You saying, in case you know somebody in your network who may be interested in having a conversation with me, I'd be very grateful for any introductions or pointers that you might be able to give me, you know, during this time. And, you know, happy to reciprocate in any possible way that I can, either now or in the future. And so you look at people as introducers rather than sort of the end product of what you're trying to achieve here, and give them the opportunity to become the conduit between you and a potential new opportunity, right?
I think that's perfectly said. And one thing that I would say that's really important here is I receive, on average, I would say, I receive a lot of DMs a day from people all over the world. And a lot of messages I receive are from people that say to me, I'm looking for a job. Can you help me? They don't say what they're looking for. They don't say what they do. So their message to me is so skinned out that I would have to look on their profile to find out what industry they're in or what their job is even. I don't even know what these people do. So it's almost like you have to help recruiters help. You have to help yourself help recruiters, so to speak. So if I receive a message from someone, and this happens all the time, where they say, I need your help, I'm looking for a job. Well, quite frankly, you need to give me a little bit more information. If you want me to help you, help me help you, right? And so what I think a lot of job seekers need to understand is how to really work LinkedIn. And I think that It's almost like I feel bad for these people, and I mean that in a respectful way, where they don't necessarily understand how to effectively contact individuals on LinkedIn that might be able to help them. Because if you send a message to a recruiter and it's just a blanket, I need a job, I'm losing my job, I lost my job, can you help me find a job? No, you need to tell me what you're looking for, versus the people that send me a very detailed message on LinkedIn, giving them an introduction to who they are, what they do, what they're looking for, and how they can add value. Those are the messages that really draw me in. It's not the messages of these two sentence, three sentence lines basically begging me for help. There's a big difference between the two.
Unfortunately for recruiters, you know, we kind of know how to do this already because we represent other candidates in the marketplace, obviously, in our professional careers. And so we should know how to represent ourselves. I mean, and recruiters in general should know that when they're approaching a potential employer or a potential networking opportunity, then they should be, you know, making it quite clear the value and the benefits that they could potentially bring to the table. And maybe one or two key accomplishments to get people thinking along the lines of, oh, yes, we would love to have someone who's capable of doing that for us. If they've done that before, you only ever get hired for what you've really achieved before. Very rarely do people hire you for your potential. I mean, there's a little bit of that in there, but for the most part, I call it defensive hiring. You're being hired because you're a proven quantity and you've delivered before. And then they can turn around to their boss if things go pear-shaped and say, well, they did it before successfully at their previous company. That's why I hired them. So yeah, I digress a little bit. That's good advice for people who are reaching out. That's good networking advice. What about the whole sort of like spray and pray philosophy in terms of applying? Once you've applied to a job and then you haven't got an instant fee, you know, you haven't received instant feedback, what else can you do to sort of maximize your chances of getting a first interview?
Yeah, I would say that for anyone who applies for a position, and I would say this for every position they apply to, there's a couple of things that should be done to really make them stand out in the crowd. The first is see if you know anyone that works at that company. And if you do, reach out to them, letting them know you applied, maybe send them a copy of your resume and explaining in a nice short email why you think you're a good fit for the role and some of your prior achievements. I would also say find out who the recruiter or hiring manager is if you can. Now, if you can't, what I would suggest the job seeker do is look for individuals at that company who are recruiters, which you can easily do by doing some searches on LinkedIn, and then reach out to those recruiters. I believe that people who do this will always be a step above people who don't. I am not a big fan of, and I kind of look at it two ways. So, you know, when recruiters post a job and pray that candidates apply, I'm not a big fan of the post and pray method. I'm also not a big fan, conversely, of what you just said is, you know, post and pray. Right. So it kind of goes both ways. So I don't believe a candidate should post a job and just cross their fingers and toes and pray that they get a call. They need to take it to step two, three, and four. They need to find out people in the company. They need to research who those people are and reach out to them on LinkedIn. I would suggest that for everybody looking for a new job.
Indeed. I think what I meant was apply and pray.
Apply and pray, right.
I don't think there's much joy to be had in this market right now from just applying to 100 jobs and just folding your arms and hoping for the best, because there's always someone who's got a better looking resume, even if they're not better than you, which they may well not be. But at the end of the day, you're being screened on a piece of paper or your LinkedIn profile. And then, you know, only a small percentage, if 300 people apply, only a small percentage of those are even going to get a look in, even have the chance of that first conversation. So yeah. I think you just have to do a lot better than that. I think beyond that, you just, as a recruiter, you have to take a recruiting philosophy and start targeting organizations that you think would benefit from your experience and your skills and your achievements, and take a much more proactive kind of approach to finding your next role. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a recruiter. It's a proactive job. You know, we're the ones who are always reaching out to clients, to candidates, to hiring managers. We're always in the driving seat. So
without question. And Marcus, I want to tell you one thing I saw on LinkedIn yesterday, which kind of goes back to what we've been talking about. There was a post on LinkedIn yesterday for a recruiter, and I don't recall the company name, but within 1 hour, there were over 1,100 applicants. I had someone send me a screenshot of the information of the company and where it said 1,100 applicants. And this is a perfect example why I never suggest to a job seeker that, number one, the only way to find a job is just to apply it. I think you got to do much more than just, you know, pray that, you know, you're going to find new job postings and refresh your computer every 10 minutes for a new posting. It goes so much deeper than that. But if you're competing against 1,100 other people, you absolutely have to do things that are going to make you stand out in the crowd.
I almost think at that point, if 1,100 people have applied and you don't know anybody at that company, you're wasting your time. I would actually recommend not even bothering applying to that, because you're playing a ridiculously low percentage game. You're not going to get a response. I mean, they probably don't even have the person in place to be able to review all these resumes. I mean, so many internal teams have laid off so many recruiters and so many of their admins, a lot of them. And I've heard this, you know, right from the horse's mouth, you know, we're struggling to just review the resumes that we're getting, you know, and that's a real problem. That's a problem that recruiting agencies like me can actually help you with. But if you're going to throw your hat in the ring with 1,100 other people, then you're going to have to throw your hat in an enormous amount of rings to get yourself a job, because the chances are just like, you're not even going to get read. Your resume is never even going to be reviewed. You need to intercept that kind of opportunity before it ever makes it to a posting on LinkedIn. And to do that, you have to use your network and look inwards and find opportunities before they have, you know, exhausted their network and they have to go and post it on LinkedIn. Because by the time they've posted on LinkedIn, that I'm assuming that probably means that they've exhausted some of their internal efforts to fill that job. You need to intercept these opportunities before they make it to the jobs page.
Yep, so, absolutely agree.
Yeah. Look, I wish we had time for more, and maybe we can sit down and do this again. But I mean, time's up for us today. This has been really interesting and a great conversation, and you are an incredible resource. I suggest anybody listening to connect with Melissa on LinkedIn, Melissa Grabner, Grabiner. And I'll put her details in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming along and giving us a few tips on how to potentially get out there and get back to work, along with some other sort of words of wisdom as well. And we'll keep in touch and speak again soon.
Yeah. And Marcus, I just want to say in closing, what I would say to all job seekers is that just don't give up, right? And I say this often on my LinkedIn posts, is that you only need one yes, right? You know, we're not looking for 10 jobs. We're looking for that one great job. And that every day is a new day. Yeah. So every day, wake up with hope and optimism, network and network some more. And just remember that, you know, at some point you will find a job. It just might take some time.
Beautiful. Great way to end the podcast. Really appreciate those words there.
Thank you, Marcus. This was a pleasure.
Yes, indeed. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay. Bye.